All right, so I teased this going into the last commercial that in my 40 years of being a huge college basketball fan, I saw something last night that is one of the 5 or 10 most ridiculous and crazy things that I have ever seen in college basketball. And no, it's not just that Penn State lost a game. They blew a 19-point lead. That has happened. Florida State came back over the weekend and stunned Miami, being down 25. You can see crazy comebacks. What happened in last night's Penn State basketball game that, quite frankly, is one of the handful of most ridiculous things that I've ever seen in my entire life in college basketball is that in the second half, Jalen Pickett, Penn State's star player, who has carried the team, had 41 points a couple weeks ago, followed it up with a 32-point game, and then in the last game scored the final 14 points to beat Ohio State. This guy is considered by some as a potential first-team All-American. In the second half of a home game, as his team was blowing a 19-point lead in the most important game of the season, do you know how many shots Jalen Pickett took? Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports Now knows. Joe, how many shots did he take in the second half?
As many shots as I did, Corey, zero.
That, to me, is unbelievable. That is an unbelievable indictment of so many things. Joe, we're going to talk about the loss. I'm not blaming this loss on Jalen Pickett, just so everybody's clear. But I want to tell you the basketball society that we live in. If LeBron is ever on a team and they lose a game, who takes all the blame? LeBron. What if LeBron is guarded by three people in the last 6 seconds of a game and he passes to a wide-open teammate and the teammate misses the shot? Who gets blamed? LeBron, because he didn't take the shot. That's just the way it goes if you're going to be the star basketball player. I cannot fathom, under any circumstance ever, I don't care if all five friggin' guys on the team are guarding you. There is no way that it is possibly acceptable in the game of basketball for the best player on a team in a home game, when you are crapping the bed with a 19-point lead, and it is your most important to not take a shot in the entire second half. I think it's one of the five most ridiculous things I have ever seen in basketball, Joe.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Corey. I agree. Watching the game last night, and to be fair, Jalen Pickett's game, we've both watched, and Penn State fans watching, it's a lot of it is dribbling, right? He gets the ball in the key, dribble, 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 wait for the shot clock to wind down, and then whether it be a fadeaway, drive him to the hoop, take that shot somehow. He actually does it so often that Brad Underwood, coach of Illinois, complained about it after Penn State beat Illinois at the Bryce Jordan Center a few weeks ago. But I'm at a loss for words for so much about what happened
yes. To
Penn State against Rutgers, but talking about Jalen Pickett specifically, I think part of the blame goes to Micah Shrewsbury
yes. And
the very stagnant offensive game plan in the second half, which Shrewsbury owned up to after the game, saying that he got outcoached by Steve Peichel, which he did. But part of that goes to Jalen Pickett, too. This guy's a leader. This guy has been one of the best players in the country this season. And he's got to take that initiative, be aggressive, do what he's been doing pretty much in every game all season, with the exception of last night. And even last night in the first half, Jalen Pickett was Jalen Pickett. He
yep. Was
driving the hoop. He was making shots. He had, I think, 3 straight possessions where he made buckets and ended the first half with 11 points. And it looked like it was going to be a Jalen Pickett type of night. But then the second half happened, and they played scared. Everybody did. And Jalen Pickett has to be more aggressive than that. And Micah Shrewsbury got to coach a better game. There's no other way to say it, really.
And Pickett did play 19 minutes. And keep in mind, folks, I'm not talking about that he went scoreless. I'm not talking about in the second half. I'm not talking about him taking bad shots. He didn't take a single damn shot. Not one. This is a first-team potential All-American. If he would have finished the season strong and Penn State gets into the tournament, Jalen Pickett could have been a first-team All-American. He didn't take a single shot. If you're playing with a dude at the playground and everybody knows he's the best guy, and then all of a sudden he just stops shooting, you're going to be like, what the hell, man? Help us out. What are you doing? And so, again, I am not even just blaming Jalen Pickett. Call a damn timeout and set up a play for the guy. Make sure everybody in the huddle knows you are shooting the ball. Even if they guard you with all five players on the court, if Steve Peichel comes out and guards you, if the Rutgers cheerleaders come out and guard you, you are shooting the ball. You are not going to go an entire half. To me, it is such an unbelievable indictment. I so badly want to say it. I so badly want to say the S word. And you know what I'm saying? It's such an unbelievable indictment of the incredible crap show that is Penn State basketball. You got a guy that was in the NBA as a coach. He can't call a damn timeout to make sure a first-team All-American gets a shot? Are you kidding me? That is coaching malpractice. Somebody asked me today, is this a fireable offense? No, it's one game. It's one half. How the hell do you not make some kind of adjustment? They went 9 minutes without scoring at the end of the game, and you got a first-team American, All-American, that can't put the ball in the even take a shot, Joe. To me, what happened last night, it is just mind-boggling on so many different levels.
Yeah, and Micah Shrewsbury, I'm sure anybody that follows college basketball and has a Twitter account has seen John Rothstein, the excellent basketball insider. Shrewsbury's slogan, Rothstein has a slogan for a lot of D1 coaches, the slogan is more plays than Broadway, which basically indicates that he's an offensive guru, and there's been times where Penn State has played brilliant basketball offensively this season and creative basketball, and we saw that not just in the first half against Rutgers, but even early in the second half when they started on, I think it was a 9-0 run and built that lead up to 19. And then they played stagnant. There wasn't creativity. There wasn't motion. It was basically Penn State being conservative, trying not to lose rather than win, and playing ISO ball. Yeah. And it didn't work. It didn't work at all. And, credit to Shrewsbury for taking accountability. To be out-coached by, and Steve Peichel is a good basketball coach, and that's why Rutgers is going to be in the NCAA tournament. But you're not getting coach circles around, and those are Shrewsbury's words after the game. Coach circles around by, you know, Tom Izzo or Shrewsbury's old boss, Matt Painter. Peichel was not the best coach in the Big Ten, and to look that inferior against a guy that doesn't have the pedigree or national reputation of a Tom Izzo, that's just a bad look. And hopefully Shrewsbury's still a young head coach, only been a head coach anywhere, not just Penn State, for two seasons. Hopefully that's an eye-opener for him, and he becomes a better coach because of it, for Penn State's sake. But, yeah, just an absolute collapse. Coaching, players, it takes more than one person to blow a 19-point lead against an offense that isn't very good, mind you. Rutgers doesn't score a lot, so that's just awful. I don't know how else to describe it.
I just want to say, Joe's at Nittany Sports now, Joe Smelter. You can go read his stuff. They have a lot of stories up. Joe, I give you a lot of credit. You're one of the best Penn State basketball guests I've had on the show for 14 years, because you call it like it is, and yet you don't go overboard like I do sometimes, which I will absolutely admit. But the reality is, this is just what Penn State basketball is. And you tweeted something, I think, last night about Micah Shrewsbury's not a bad coach. You know, we got to give him some time. So let's dive into that. Because, look, you lose a 19-point game. Things can go wrong in a 45-minute span. All right, again, Florida State's terrible. Okay, horrendous. The worst Florida State team we've seen in two decades. They came back from 25 down against Miami. It does happen. These things can happen in sports. In a nutshell, in a small bubble element, you can see crazy things happen like what happened to Penn State last night. Seth Lundy goes 0 for 11 from 3 in the second half. He's one of the best three-point shooters in the Big Ten. I mean, these things do happen. I want to look at the bigger picture outside of just the second half of Penn State basketball. And I want to ask you about where Penn State basketball is, where we think Micah Shrewsbury is, what Micah Shrewsbury could become, what Penn State basketball could become versus what it may not become. Because my issue here is I don't think the guy's done a very damn good job at all coaching this team. I think it's been absolutely horrendous. They jack up all these threes, and if they make them, they win. If they lose, or if they don't make them, they lose. And his plan B was basically just give the ball to Jalen Pickett and ISO. Where's the adjustments? Where's trying something else? That's my biggest issue, I guess, from this particular coach this season, because he's got 5 1,000-point scorers, Joe. He's got a very experienced team, and I quite frankly don't really know what Micah Shrewsbury's doing during a lot of these games.
Yeah, and I think to dive a little deeper into last night, Corey, Kevin Jai, obviously, he's a big-time recruit, by Penn State standards anyway, four-star. I think he's the second-highest-rated recruit or signee that school ever had. I might be wrong, but he's definitely in the top five. He hasn't blossomed yet this year, still going through a lot of growing pains, but he was kind of feeling it in the first half last night. He had two dunks. He played pretty good defense, but instead of that, instead of thinking, you know, we struggled on the inside all year, let's see what this kid could do, they decided to still chuck up a million threes when they weren't making them. And even if Penn State was planning on chucking up a million threes, why is Seth Lundy taking 11 and Cam Winter, who's been playing very well, why is Cam Winter only taking 5? It's just the distribution of the three-point shots in addition to taking too many as a whole, which has been a problem all season when they're not going in. That just doesn't make any sense to me. How Cam Winter is a veteran guy. He's the only Penn State player that's played in the NCAA tournament. He's only taken 5 3-pointers. I don't know if Winter wasn't shooting. I don't know if it was by design that the point guard wasn't shooting threes as much, but Seth Lundy clearly wasn't feeling it. And, I don't agree. Some people I've seen on Twitter are ripping Shrewsbury for leaving him in the game. I don't really agree with that because he's such a good two-way player, and he actually made a pretty big defensive play late in the game that nobody remembers because they lost. But he shouldn't have been taking as many threes as he was when it became clear to everybody that it wasn't his night. And when it's not your night, you got
to maybe you got to drive to the basket.
Yep, that's
maybe you got to try to get fouled because your coach has been bitching all year that they don't get any free throws. Well, why is that? Because I'm just going to keep jacking up 25-footers. All right. So, again, this is part of the problem here, that Micah comes with this great resume. No one would doubt Micah's resume. Nobody at all. He was an assistant on back-to-back Butler teams that went to the national championship game. He was an assistant for a long time at Purdue. He coached with the Celtics. This guy, we just want him so badly to succeed. Joe, anybody that follows or cares about Penn State, you want this to be the guy. Please be the guy. Please be the guy. Because what guy are you ever going to get? What guy are you ever going to get that with any level of a resume better than Micah Shrewsbury? So, And quite frankly, I think a lot of the Penn State media is guilty of this. I'm not necessarily talking about you, but I think the Penn State, they just want so badly. He's a nice guy. He's passionate. Please be the guy. Please be the guy. What if he's not the guy? I mean, I literally watch these games in amazement at his inability to do anything. Hey, let's jack 35 threes or let's ISO our big guy. And that's our damn offense. That's our offense, Joe. That to me is, and look, they're good and they've got good enough players to win games. But sometimes the coach has got to win some games for you too. And that, to me, I guess, is the single biggest red flag for this entire season is Micah Shrewsbury's inability to show as a coach that he can do the right things to get the team over the hump.
Yeah, and I'm a defender of Micah Shrewsbury, Corey. I think I'm not defending him for last night. We talked about that. But overall, I think obviously you talked about the resume. He says the right things in press conferences, which is it's not a huge deal, but it helps as a head coach. But we thinking about like what Steve Peichel did last night defensively and being able to out-coach Micah Shrewsbury, there's been games where Penn State's outplayed good teams, Indiana for one, but has there been a game this season or in Shrewsbury's tenure where you walk away thinking, oh, wow, Micah really out-coached Brad Underwood or Mike Woodson? He might beat those teams, but I can't really think of a time where, like, Shrewsbury's tactical brilliance has been one of the main takeaways of the game, the way Steve Peichel's was last night. I don't know if there's been a game where you felt that way, but
no.
I can't think of one. So
yeah, Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports Now. All right, so this Penn State basketball team, despite all that we've just said and all the frustration, they're not out of the NCAA tournament bubble just yet. They go to Northwestern. Northwestern lost last night. That is a good team. If they could win there, that's a quality road win. Then they close with Maryland. Win that. They're 10-10. Win two games in the Big Ten tournament, Joe. Is that enough? 10-10. The first win in the Big Ten tournament will be a garbage win over some terrible team, so that really won't help you. The second win would probably be a pretty decent win over a middle-of-the-pack kind of team. Is 10-10 and 2-1 in the Big Ten tournament enough? Or do they got to go 3-1 in the Big Ten tournament?
So 10-10 plus the two wins, that gets them 21 wins overall, right?
You know what? I honestly don't even look at those kinds of things. I think the conference record and the net and all that stuff are far more important than overall wins.
Right. Because I think 21's been my magic number, so I want to say they get in, but at the same time...
But see, that's what I'm saying. 21, if some of them are Nebraska and Minnesota, that ain't helping you. I mean, you. I think Rutgers was 37th in the net. I think Maryland's 38th, or Northwestern's 30. I think Rutgers might have been 22nd, and Maryland, Rutgers, 37, 38, Northwestern, let me rephrase. Rutgers was 22, I think. I think Maryland and Northwestern were like 37 and 38. So that gave you three potential opportunities for top 50 wins in a row. And that's why blowing a 19-point lead at home is exacerbated, because that would have been a good victory for you.
Yeah, and it would have put them on the inside looking out as opposed to the outside looking in.
Correct, yep.
So I think to answer your original question, if they win four more games and get to 21, I want to say that gets them in, but at the same time, the feeling is that Penn State's going to need a rub from the committee, and I don't think Penn State's the type of school where the committee looks for reasons to leave out of the NCAA tournament as opposed to leaving in. And in a year where North Carolina's on the bubble, I'm not saying this is a likely scenario, but if it comes down to the committee's going to decide, we can pick Penn State or Carolina. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, Carolina's in the national championship game last year, right? And right. So they can tell you that stuff is not supposed to matter. But the big issue is this: they go 10-10 and then 2-1. They're still at best, probably going to be 66th out of 68. That's the right side of the bubble for the time being. Then you have an upset in a conference tournament. Now all of a sudden, you've just had a bid stolen. Now you're 67th. Then you have another upset. Now you're 6. You have no wiggle room, okay?
Right.
10-10, 2-1 in the tournament squarely leaves them right there, 66, 67, 68, to where basically they would need all kinds of chalk to happen in conference tournaments and not have some small conference one-bid league, typical one-bid league, have their regular season champion lose.
Yeah, and there's always somebody's going to steal a bid,
yes,
right? A few teams are probably going to steal bids. And plus, there's always teams that deserve to be in the NCAA tournament, at least in the court of public opinion, that don't get in. Think about Texas A&M, right, last season, and that I think their probability was something like 90% in bracketology.
Mm-hmm.
They get sent to the NIT. Buzz Williams uses his entire first-round NIT press conference to I don't want to say complain because he was justified for what he was saying, but he was pretty much laying out a multi-minute statement about why his team deserved to be in and how ridiculous it was that it wasn't. So with all those factors, it's just really hard. But I do – something tells me that Penn State's going to beat Northwestern Wednesday. There's no logic behind it. Northwestern's better than Penn State. They're going to be playing at home in front of a sold-out audience. They've lost two in a row, which I think is actually bad for Penn State because Northwestern has that kind of destiny feel this season, and I can't really see them crashing – pardon me, can't really see them crashing too far towards the end of the year. But at the same time, the Big Ten's been kind of messed up recently. This is one of the wildest weekends that I can remember in Penn State Big Ten basketball, excuse me. And I actually texted Andy Stein, who I think you know from the Altoona Mirror, and I said – Penn State should beat Rutgers, but with the way the Big Ten's been going this weekend, that leads me to believe that something crazy is going to happen, and crazy isn't good for Penn State. But against Northwestern, I think crazy would work in Penn State's favor since you're not supposed to win. So if they lose to Northwestern, I think that's close to a nail in the coffin, but crazy things happen. We saw that last night, and I think there's going to be some weird stuff that goes on. Whether Penn State gets in the tournament or not, there's going to be some madness, pardon the cliche word.
Pickett might come out and score 47. He just might carry the whole damn thing. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it, buddy.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
All right, Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports Now.